Essay 18. This Sunday, I am having lunch with a young man I never met, the son of a hometown friend, whose wife died very much like mine did. I'm not sure if we are being brought together precisely for this reason, but I am apprehensive about it, thinking I may be expected to say something to him, talk about all of this. I know I need to decide ahead of time how I will handle that. When I found Carol last February, I tried and failed to revive her. That sentence sounds pretty tame. The actual experience was not. I truly believed I could bring her back to life, so I engaged in a variety of futile actions to try to do so, disrupting the scene considerably in the process. There were consequences to this. A lot of obligatory and understandable questions, inquiries from official sources. Everyone who came in response to my 911 call, the EMS medics, the police officers, the detectives, the coroner, all asked in their sequence the same things. Describe exactly what you found. Describe exactly what you did. Tell us exactly everything you know. I understood exactly what was at stake. Part of me was grateful to them that they would care for her in this way, look after her. Part of me was, again understandably, terrified. So I said, as exactly as I could, over and over, what I saw, did, knew. When they all left at last a few hours later, I knew one thing for sure. I was never going to describe that scene, those moments, again, for anyone, for any reason, ever. And I haven't. I recall when I was a child being around men from my father's generation, small groups of them, getting together to have a good time. And how the conversation often turned to their experiences in World War II. They all had them and stories about them. After a few beers, the stories would amplify. As a kid, you wondered at the fact that war could be so uproarious. But you could always tell the ones who had seen and done the most horrible things. They kept quiet, said nothing about what they knew. Oh, they would laugh with the rest of them. But if a specific question came their way, they'd very politely deflect it. Even a child could see the great weight that sat on their hearts and understand that they did this not to protect themselves from having to remember and relive those traumas, but for others, knowing even at second hand, some horrors dig deep and never leave. My trauma is not, of course, on that scale. But I feel the same way about it. I need to hold it to my heart, that great weight now simply a part of it. I do it for me, for Carol, whom I will never, ever reduce to fodder for a story. But I do it for you too. Last summer, my sister asked me for more details about those moments. I told her I wouldn't say. For these very reasons, the last of them especially. I told her that if I described exactly what I saw, heard, did, she would at some point, a day, a week, a month, a year from then, wish she had never asked. You can't unring a bell, as they say, and you can't unhear a story that should not have been told. Last night, I had the most vivid dream. I was deep sea fishing, trying to land the big fish that had just hit my bait. It was a long fight, an hour or more of hauling, reeling, running in and back. Then finally, up it came, a huge, sleek, gorgeous, shimmering, multi-hued fish flopping around on the deck. What, I thought, could I possibly say to this fish, land it, but still fighting for life a fat slab of fleshy muscle that had been gliding in the deep just minutes before, out of my sight, but I somehow knew had been also in my memory, day after day, month after month, year after year, before I ever got there. So beautiful, indescribably beautiful, this magical thing, now on display up here, the wet wooden deck of a small boat heaving up and down on the ocean swells. I studied its luminous rainbow sides for a while, the maw widening with each breath, so stunned, waiting, wondering, just instinct and my memory keeping its breath coming and going. And then I lifted it up and let it slide over the side. It righted itself when it hit water, glided a while, then flashed back down into the deep. I know that no matter what I might tell this young man on Sunday, or anyone ever about any of this, no matter how I turn it, they will never, ever see that fish or hear that story. He has one of his own, too, the fish he had to let go just like that, and he knows exactly what I know. Last night, maybe, he caught his fish in the deep of sleep, saw it struggle, threw it back, his dream forever, just like mine is mine. If we end up telling fish stories, they will be about other fish, very beautiful, multi-hued, but bought at the market, like any good story, a commodity, a staple, laid out there carefully for someone else to savor, consume. But his won't be his, and mine won't be mine.